and welcome to the S-Words podcast stuff segment. This is the stuff number 33 mailbag. Oh, yeah. That's right. I told
you. It's number 33. No more number things. But you said yes. No more numbering things, but we're going to go on with the trying to use Skype again. It's just me and you, Dom.
All right.
To the top, big time. So let's go into this. We have actually a pretty big mailbag, so I wanted to make sure we actually at least got through this. It's been a really busy month for the both of us, and things are going to start picking up with the show again in December, hopefully.
Yeah.
So we just decided.
The holidays have been pretty rough, so.
Yeah, so we just decided to get this thing done so that you guys can hear some more from the show and also get to the stuff that you care about, which is the stuff you wrote into us about. So, Dom, why don't you bring us this first one from Julian W.
All right, Julian W. writes, what would you do in the zombie apocalypse?
Well, there is not going to be a zombie apocalypse because zombies are not real. And even then, if they are real, you can always have this wonderful book called The Zombie Survival Guide by Max Brooks, which will pretty much cover everything you're going to need. And even then, you'll be screwed.
It's even better because Max Brooks is Mel Brooks' son. You remember that, but I don't know how many people know that.
Oh, actually, it's usually mentioned in a lot of press releases about World War Z. Not so much on
Not so much about the survival guide. But anyway, in the fictional zombie apocalypse, though, Kevin, I think you and I would get together, right? We would be a team, and then we would probably turn on each other in a very Romero-esque fashion. And I think what would happen is that Kevin would eventually shoot me in the head.
Hey, you got it right. Yeah, I would probably betray you, Dom.
Yeah, you would probably betray me over, like, meaningless amounts of money while we were in a mall, you know? And then, like, the biker gangs would come in. And then, wait a second, that's Dawn of the Dead.
I just thought I would accidentally shoot you.
Oh, you would shoot me because I'm black, right?
Next question, which is, what are your favorite foods? And actually, Julian says, what are your actual favorite foods? So not just the ones we tell people. Yeah. Well, I like to tell people I love celery, but in actuality, celery is disgusting to me. So my actual favorite food is celery. You know, one of these are the kind of things that it's more like I can't really find an answer.
How about this? How about we turn it into what's your guilty pleasure food?
Gummy bears, Cheez-Its, beer. Those three together
is
pretty good. Tacos.
Those tiny, and I call them tiny terrible burritos, those little frozen burritos that are like 50 cents at Safeway.
Ew, those are disgusting. I would never eat those.
Oh, I love them.
Oh.
Those and the little toaster oven / like microwave.
What, pizza bagels?
Hot pies?
No. I'm telling you, New York style grease ball pizza is awesome. That's
in
all
the microwave?
No. Straight from the vendor on the street. You know, I love my food prepared on the street. Street food is incredibly
that was when you were fun. That was when you were going around New York trying to become a folk hero, right? And then random people on the street would give you pizza.
What? What are we talking about? Is this Hercules in New York or is this something else?
This is Street Fighter, The Legend of Kevin Chu.
Oh, yeah.
Pizza.
Yeah, that means I love you, pizza.
I love you, pizza man. Exactly. All right, let's move on then. The last one is actually an interesting one. Are any of you guys religious?
Well, this question can go into a lot for you and into very little for me. So let's go with me first. No, not really.
I used to be religious, but in college, actually in high school, when I went to a Catholic school, in fact, a Jesuit school, a teacher taught me there was such a thing as, you know, like, not logical atheism. I sort of settled into, agnosticism. And so that's sort of, what I fell into. A priest, it kind of happened when a priest told me that he didn't know whether or not God existed, and that kind of affected me. So there you go. I am ex-Catholic. Sometimes people like to joke that it's a recovering Catholic.
You're recovering, man. Don't worry about it. Let's go into this next one from Burgundy Tears, and he or she writes, anyway, your recent Sims episode, you never mentioned one of my favorite Sim games, and that would be Sim Farm. It's a Maxis game, but not made by Will Wright. Yeah, we did not mention this at all, did we?
I don't remember Sim Farm. That's why I didn't mention it.
Yeah, I knew it existed, but I never got to play it. But he at least says we at least mentioned Sim Tower, and that game was awesome. So actually, I guess I really do need to go back and check out Sim Farm, because that actually sounds really fun. But then again, a lot of the kind of sim games sound fun, and then you play them and then find out it's too serious for you. Too cool for school? No, too serious for not school.
Too serious for your it's too serious for your leisure time. It's like playing spreadsheets in your spare time,
you
know?
I love playing spreadsheets.
I know. You mean like the Romance of the Three Kingdoms and all of those other spreadsheet games?
Yeah, Spreadsheet 2, Spreadsheet 3, Spreadsheet's Revenge. Or what is his name? Clippy. Clippy's Revenge.
Yes, Clippy's Revenge. Clippy's right. Clippy's back and he's angry.
Let's go to this next one from some guy in Australia named John.
All right. John H. in Australia, and you, I hope you Australians note that I'm no longer making fun of your fine subcontinent. Wait a second. No, it's a real continent. Crap. It's India that's a subcontinent.
Actually,
anyway.
Didn't you just yesterday mention how you hated prison countries like Australia and Canada?
No. Don't put words in my mouth.
I remember you said that.
You surrogate jerk store.
And then you spat on the ground.
All right. Anyway, John H. from Australia writes, I work in an Australian high school as a tech support officer, and my office is situated with the English faculty. Several staff members inquired today as to what was making me laugh so hard. I usually listen to these on headphones. And so when I told them the topic, and I'm assuming this is Shakespeare he's talking about, they demanded to hear it all on speakers during lunch. You had us all laughing so hard, and they all feel for you, Dom, as Kevin reminds them a lot of their students. They, too, wish they could set some of them on fire with their minds. Oh, well, I thought I'd say keep up the awesome work. And Kevin, you were such a jerk store in this one, but it was great.
Well, see, the
and
thing
really,
is,
that's, you know, that's how it works.
I was
that's
just being a jerk store to be a jerk store. I'm a good student. I was AP English and all that stuff too. And I read these books and analyzed them and wrote all those papers. It's just, I like to get into under and into and deep and just like really grind your gears, dumb.
Well, you got deep inside of me in college. You don't have to ask and really
well,
try
what
that.
What was that saying again from college? Deep inside I go.
We still say that.
My fist,
we sing it.
The bloodstains on my fist are still there.
Break it, break it. All right, anyway, thank you very much. I mean, that's the thing, is that every time I think about becoming an English teacher, it comes to me that most people don't like English as much as I do, and that would probably frustrate me, because I would only want to be an honors English teacher where people are actually, you know, interested in doing it, or even if they're not interested in it, their parents want them to get into a good college, so they'll at least try hard.
That was me.
That was me too, but I was actually interested in it, so there you go.
I was interested in it more than like science and all those other boring classes.
Yeah.
Oh well, loss. It's still loss already at this point.
Yeah, all right. So
okay.
Anyway, thanks, John from Australia, and the English faculty at whatever high school you work at.
Kane V writes, my love for you is like the redwood thrusting powerfully into the morning sky. So firm, so massive. So what about somatic input methods? Scraps, so that Dom can talk more about his touching games? Okay, really, there's not much Dom can tell you about touching games. There was just one joke, one time. Even Danny regrets ever saying it. So we can stop with the touching games, because really, Dom's just going to be like witches, and I guess all DS games are touching games, kind of.
Idolmaster and Dream Club. It's like, eh.
Oh, the ones where you have to clean off the screen. You know, they created the DSiLL for that, so that you'd have more screen surface to clean off.
You know what? Let's move on to the next part of KNV's email. Let's
Okay. The next part of the email says, remember, it's not who's hung that's important, but how hung you are. So, Dom, who's hung?
I don't know. Actually, I think someone's hung on Warcraft right now. I can go on and ask.
Okay. So while Dom is asking people on Warcraft who's hung, Kane V finishes the email with, don't look at the taint needle. Well, we've already looked, and it is glorious, so don't listen.
Taintneedle.com.
Taintneedle.com. We need more hits. Anyways, bring us this next one from Ann C.
Who I think is on cow again. Anyway, hey guys, on again. It's more likely that Dom just overlooked it, but Christopher Lee was in the 1970s Julius Caesar. As Artemidorus with Charlton Heston as Mark Anthony. Mark Antony, not Mark Anthony. Also, why would you put Sim Ant in the poll? You know full well that people would just vote for it on purpose even if they had a legitimate vote.
It's actually winning right now. I think it's like 33% of the vote has gone to Sim Ant. I think the next one is Hamlet.
Yeah, I voted for Hamlet as my favorite. With Comedy of Errors and Sonnet 18, which is the one that starts with Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day, at second and third place. I thought the Shakespeare show was fine. I didn't expect it to be so long, but all the silliness and such made it a really enjoyable and worthwhile listen. I hope you guys do other, more cultured subjects soon. Like what? What else is an S word?
Yeah, you know, all the cultured subjects are just going to end up being us being dicks, while the actual one cultured person tries to create a show out of it. And that's really how it works here on the S Words podcast.
It'd kind of be like if we did Sondheim and Kevin is the only person who's really, you know, done the work on soundtracks. And I'd be like, Sondheim, he sounds like he's a Viking. Yeah.
But Vikings are cool.
They are. Like in Led Zeppelin, where you have the immigrant song and they're like, ah!
Hey, you know that to add that into School of Rock, they needed to get Led Zeppelin's permission. And one of the things that's interesting about that band is that whenever you do need to get their permission for anything, to like use their songs in pretty much anything, right, they pretty much always say no. So it was actually quite amazing that when I was watching that movie, I was like, whoa, are they playing Led Zeppelin? Because either they're going to be in a lot of trouble or they pulled off something quite magical there. And that's all we have to say about Stephen Sondheim. Moving on to the P.S., though.
All right, anyway, P.S., this has nothing to do with Shakespeare, and it's just a question I've had on my mind. Which of you guys knew how to play Magic the Gathering, and which still play regularly? Well, to answer that question, the regular Magic players who are in the S-Words podcast group are me, Andy, and occasionally Danny, not always. Other people who have played Magic, or at least know how to play Magic, are Albert and Mike and John, yes.
Well, so I also know how to play Magic as well. I used to play in middle school. That's when I stopped, Dom.
I almost qualified for the Pro Tour. I'll tell you that story sometime. Anyway, so that's Magic the Gathering.
All right,
I'll
bring this next one from your favorite pal, David, the anti-Dom. He writes, I guess at this point, there's no need for introduction of me anymore. Thanks for pretty much shanghaiing me into emailing you. Nice name drop, Dom. I think he's talking about the Shakespeare episode in which I think you referred to anti-Dom at some point. Anyways,
because anti-Dom didn't want the Shakespeare episode, right?
Oh, maybe. Anyways, there is nothing nasty I can say about Dom and his Shakespeare. That podcast said it all for me. Kevin's incessant torturing of Dom was just priceless. Made me laugh so hard that the room became dusty. The anguish in Dom's voice due to the belittlement of Shakespeare was fuel for the flames of my hate. I actually, let me reread this the proper way. How about that, Dom, okay?
Like how?
Like an actual villain. Kevin's incessant torturing of Dom was just priceless. Made me laugh so hard the room became dusty. The anguish I heard in Dom's voice, due to the belittlement of Shakespeare, was fuel for the flames of my hate.
No! So, Kevin, don't do it! No!
No, but I must! I don't know. Was this actually a villain or some sort of weird wussy fop guy?
Actually, those are one and the same a lot of the time.
Okay.
Especially if you're, I imagine you, like, in that Western kind of thing, like, you're tying me to the railroad tracks with that.
Are you talking about Snidely Whiplash? Snidely Whiplash doesn't speak like that. I was thinking
about the generic Western thing.
I was thinking more like a thin man in spandex.
You mean like half of the Flash's villains?
Actually, more than half, right?
Poofy hair.
Poofy hair. Spandex. Jumping
so
up and down a lot.
And Mirror Master, right?
Sure. I am the Mirror Master. All right, let's move on to M. M writes.
Right. First thing I want to know is what is with all the biting of Danny? I'm confused. Did she just not want to be in the show, or is that how she shows love, anger, etc.? Please explain.
It's the second one.
Well, the answer to your question actually is yes.
Yes.
All right. That's pretty much how Miho goes. Well, you see, this is the thing, is that you know how Miho is just a hug pillow? Danny has installed those clattering teeth, you know, the chattering teeth, like in the Joker and Arkham Asylum and stuff, but he didn't put it on her mouth.
Some people like the feeling, Dom.
All right. Anyway, just after listening to the long-awaited Shakespeare podcast, which was a blast, for both the subject matter and the lack of control Dom had over the group, I have a word of advice for Dom. Don't let Kevin drink before or during a podcast again if the subject is something you care about, or he may end up being an even bigger jerk store than last time. Well, actually, I think we were both drinking for that one, weren't we?
Well, no, actually only I was, but the drinking wouldn't have changed anything, really.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, yeah, there's that. Let's see here. Overall, I loved it. My favorite Shakespeare works... I'm going to skip over these ones. Cut this out, Kevin. And just because I'd like to brag, I've seen Romeo and Juliet performed in Shakespeare's Globe Theater in London, and it was wonderful. Well, actually, that's on my list of things to do before I die. What about you, Kevin? What would you do in Britain before you died?
Go down Abbey Road and go visit the studio there and, you know, break into Paul McCartney's house and, like, touch his hair.
I wouldn't touch his hair. I would, like, quickly stroke his guitars and play them right side up.
All right, let's move on to Jack from Athens, Georgia. And he writes, "Hey, all, just finished listening to your episode on Shakespeare a little while ago and found it thoroughly awesome that Dom brought up Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, because that is just an awesome play and movie, really. Also, I'm incredibly jealous that he got to see both Hamlet and Rosencrantz and Guildenstern together." Anyways, related to,
like, 6 hours of my life. It was 6 hours, though, so it was quite long.
Very long, huh?
We like the long ones, though. I especially like it when they come back to back.
Okay. Related to Shakespeare, though, if you haven't seen it, a group called the Reduced Shakespeare Company puts on a show called The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged, in which they pretty much do just that. It's three guys making Shakespeare jokes. They combine just about all of the comedies into one meta play, and they perform the histories as a football game in which King Lear gets a penalty for being fictional. It's worth a look if you've never seen it and enjoy Shakespeare. Well, that's actually more up your alley, Dom. And I'm actually quite surprised by the amount of feedback we've been getting on Shakespeare when, you know, obviously topics like Star Wars and things like that back in our past should still be getting some sort of feedback. I don't understand why Shakespeare is so special to...
It's because after the first three Shakespeare plays, he got better.
He got better.
I feel happy. I feel happy. All right, anyway, moving on to Kyle from Las Vegas.
What makes you happy, Dom?
A lot of things.
What's making you feel happy?
You're making me feel happy right now.
Okay, let's move on to Kyle from Las Vegas. He writes,
"I just finished listening to your Shakespeare podcast at work. Yes, I love my job. And I'm surprised I didn't hear mention of Hamlet the manga. If by chance none of you have heard of the classic as portrayed by the cast of The Slayers, Google it. I believe you will find yourself pleasantly surprised." I think I can live without that, actually. I've seen a lot of Hamlets in my time, and I'm totally okay with leaving it that for a while, you know?
What about Romeo cross Juliet?
Let's not talk about that. Let's keep moving.
What about
anyway,
Hamlet
I think I'll like...
cross Othello? What about Hamlet versus... Shakespeare man-on-man... action.
That's a lot of Shakespeare. But anyway,
I mean, like, when you cross the characters, yeah.
Having them go all like Kirk Spock on us.
Hamlet cross Iago, or, you know.
Let's keep moving.
Hamlet cross Vile Jelly. I don't know.
Kyle finishes off with saying, "I think I'll add my favorite Shakespeare play along with a little bit of trivia. My favorite has always been Macbeth for many reasons, but one for the fact that it's the most violent of his works. Why? Because it's his only play where a child is killed on stage. Never before had that been done." Well, the thing is that if you study the post-Shakespeare era, you kind of get, you kind of get used to all the violence because they went way overboard after the Shakespeare's time. Kevin, have you ever heard of this this play called "Tis Pity, She's a Whore"?
No.
Yeah, there's a scene in that one where the main character comes on stage with, like, the girl's heart in his hands,
Okay, so what you just said could mean two different things. He actually enters the stage with the girl's heart in his hands, or something else.
No, he's holding her, like, not quite, her bloody heart.
Yes, but when he comes with her heart...
Hold on, sorry, let me read this out.
He enters the stage, right?
he goes on stage...
Goes on stage.
His sister's part is skewered on. So there you go.
All right. So he doesn't come on stage. He just goes on stage. Okay.
No.
See.
But anyway, so yeah,
I can imagine both.
The shocking stuff you really get past really easily once you start reading that kind of stuff. Because, oh my God.
It would be more shocking if he came on stage.
So anyway.
All right. James Bartholomew Hamster. Great name, by the way. Gave us this really long email, so let me just try to paraphrase. It's actually a really good email, so, well, maybe I can try and get through this as quickly as possible. Long-time listener, first-time caller here. That would be writer, I guess. I wish to thank the cast and crew of the S-Words podcast for consistently providing entertaining and insightful banter to fill the lonely hours of solitary dormitory living. I would especially like to thank Dom for inadvertently encouraging me to switch over to a double major in English. What can I say? You painted such a rosy picture of the discipline, aside from the whole unemployment thing, but that's why I'm keeping my previous major concurrently, and I decided to make the break and indulge my interests.
I've gotten many jobs as a writer, thank you.
Yeah, like busboy and...
I've and never actually done
boy,
that.
Boy.
Writer
pony
and
boy.
Writer and writer.
Shoeshine boy.
Keep going.
In the realm of leisure pursuits, however, I most credit the S-Words for sparking an interest in Sega. So much so, in fact, that I've been looking into buying up some of the 90s-era consoles. The Genesis and Saturn both go for around $35, and the Dreamcast for less than $100 on Amazon, with games being similarly cheap due to relative lack of interest in this day and age. So the prospects of starting up a collection are both promising and affordable. However... in the interest of frugality, I have been eyeing the Sonic's Ultimate Genesis collection for the 360. Most certainly, the number of games included on the disc would give the purchase far more bang for my buck than buying each of the titles piecemeal for the Genesis. I do, though, have the desire for the genuine retro experience in mind. I recognize So I do have this game. Lita and I just played it a couple days ago. It's okay.
The thing is that if you want the full retro experience, you need to get Sonic and Knuckles. That's the long and short of it. Because
but it
the true
Sonic
retro
and
experience
Knuckles.
Is popping open the cartridge and sticking in another cartridge. Because that's retro. You can't do that with these newfangled CDs. If you put a CD on top of another CD, you just get two CDs on top of each other.
Well, actually, Dom, they've come up with this new technology where they put both of the cartridges in the CD. In fact, they put many cartridges in the CD.
Explain how.
Money can be exchanged for goods and services.
Explain how.
That's when you're supposed to get all, just shut up and I'll release some endorphins in you.
Okay.
What were we talking about? You had something to say about this. Oh, you can't get the retro experience without Sonic and Knuckles. I recognize from my history as an NES and SNES kid that going back and playing those games on virtual console is not quite the same. I appeal to the humble council of swordsmen and women for your learned opinion. Have you played the compilation title in question? Do you notice any substantial differences? Okay. So Lita and I played it. It's fine. It's pretty much the same kind of thing. The thing that I don't like is that you can't get the D-pad the same kind of way that the Genesis had, and that's a real game breaker for me. Sonic is a lot better when I use the old Sega Genesis pad, because 360 one, even the PS3 one, they're not going to cut it. He includes a PS, and it says, I know it's an old topic, but in regards to the confusion of your supposed white-sounding qualities, a factor that added some initial confusion in the matter was the fact that Dom introduces himself at the beginning of the podcast. No, this is not about how he pronounces Nguyen, it's how he says his first name, Dominic. Very quickly, he says it very quickly, and that makes it sound like he's calling himself Dom McQuinn. For the first month of working my way through the existing podcast backlog, I was under the impression that Dom was a self-important Irishman with a strong affinity for Spawn games. Just thought I'd share.
Yeah, I really like the fact that he thought I was a self-important Irishman. That one is just so strange.
And the McWin is like the ultimate McDonald's hamburger.
Yes, the McWin is even better than the Windows 7 Burger King burger?
Or the McLoss?
Or the
Whopper, basically. All right. Moving on to shorter emails.
Here's Alex R. from Tasmania. I'm a new listener, still working my way back through the archives. I'm sorry if this has been asked or suggested before. Don't worry, Alex. We will just make fun of you. So listening to Stuff and Suggestions number 32, Matt's question about removing scenes from movies brought to mind 2012, the first movie since Hairspray, to appall me at how little I liked it. While I wanted to walk out of 2012 at the volcano scene, I stuck around until the end out of morbid curiosity. I wish I hadn't, because it got so much worse. Are you the kind of people to leave a movie you paid to see, or do you stick it out no matter how bad? Which movies have you walked out of, and which one was the scene that sealed the deal for you? So, Alex, we sat through all of Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li and Dragon Ball Evolution. Although you enjoyed...
I love Dragon Ball Evolution. Yeah. I own Dragon Ball Evolution. It's awesome.
So
here's the first thing for this email that... Okay, I love Hairspray, the new remake, and the old one as well. So I don't know why you don't like it, but I actually can probably see why. As far as 2012, I haven't seen it yet. I kind of do. I love watching all sorts of disaster movies and B-movies. And I've never actually left any movie that I've gone and paid to see in a movie theater. And at least on video, every once in a while, I think I always finish every movie on video. I might just forget to finish something, or something was just so dull that I forgot and never remembered to go back to it, in which case I won't remember which movie I did, I guess, kind of leave in terms of on video. But one movie that really made me want to leave the theater for the first time in my life was Magnolia. My God.
Really? You wanted to leave Magnolia?
I hate Magnolia. I hate Magnolia with a passion. And, I actually like P.T. Anderson, but I hate that film. That film is awful.
So, yeah, the thing is that I've left one movie, but I think I've told this story even on this podcast. I didn't pay for it. I was snuck in by my cousin who worked tickets at the old Century Theater before the Century Park 12. I don't even remember what it's called anymore. It was the UA 6 in Redwood City. And I got snuck into Raising Kane when I was 11 or 12. And so, Raising Kane was a little too intense for me when I was, actually I wasn't even younger than that. I was like 8. So I got brought to Raising Kane and it was a little too intense for me. So I started running and I stayed in the lobby for a while. But, and then the other thing is just a matter of style and preference. I tend to stop watching Romeo and Juliet when Mercutio dies. Yeah, so I've never walked out of a movie that I paid for. Kevin, what about you?
Oh, I mean, I answered that question earlier, didn't I?
Sorry, yeah. I totally forgot about that. That's about it. I've walked out of one movie ever, and I was like 8, so it was because I was scared.
All right, so let's go into Peter H.'s email then. And he writes, here's a topic that Dom raised long ago, stupid. The topic being stupid. As Dom said, there is more than enough of it to go around and much too much for a single podcast. So how about some quick stupid moments in? Well, actually, why don't we could probably do that right now, can't we?
Yeah.
He's got actually a quick list for us. Stupidest moments in.
Should we trade off or should we both do each of these?
Let's trade off then.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Number one, junior, middle, and high school. Anything for you?
So the stupidest moment for me in, let's say high school. So the thing was that I'd never had a real gym class before. I mean, I had PE when I was in grade school, but we did that in our uniforms, as opposed to in high school where we had real gym class where, you're supposed to change and stuff like that. And at the time, I was still a briefs person. I didn't know what boxer shorts were. So it's like, okay, we've got to change into shorts. Okay, what are these? All right, I'll wear these. And then I came out of the locker room, and my friend Ed said, dude, you're wearing boxer shorts, right? And I went, oh, crap, and ran back in and changed shorts really quickly to the other pair of clean shorts that I'd brought with me. which thankfully were not underwear.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That was a pretty stupid moment, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty stupid. I can't believe you did
that. I didn't know the difference. What can I say? I was a brief kid.
And I'll do this next one that he's got, and it's alcohol. And this
you have better stories for me than me anyway.
Yeah, this is actually a story that is stupid but awesome. So me and my friends, we were out at a bar drinking, and one person had recommended a drink to two of us, and it was called the cement mixer. Now, if anyone ever tells you to get the cement mixer, hopefully you know from this point onward that it's a joke drink. You're not supposed to like it. And what it is, it's Bailey's Irish Cream in a shot glass, and then they squeeze lemon juice into it.
Oh,
and
the rat happens, brain thing?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not a brain. They squeeze lemon juice into the Bailey's Irish Cream. So what happens is it starts solidifying. It starts to kind of condense up, hence the idea of it being called a cement mixer. So it becomes this really gross goop. And what had happened was we got them, and we were waiting for everyone to do the cheer before we were going to do these shots. So me and my friend, we got them. We're holding on to them for a while, and eventually we do the cheer, and we take the shot. I down mine easily, but he gets some of it in his mouth, decides he can't down it, spits it back up in his shot. And at this point, I already had quite a bit in me, so I was like, what are you doing? And I grabbed the shot straight out of his hand, down it right in front of everyone, and then one of my friends is like, dude, you know he just upchucked that into the shot glass? And I was like, oh, crap. But it was cool, because I didn't taste anything or anything, so it was fine. Yeah, that's wow. Right. That's how you do it.
Your stupid alcohol story is better than mine. All right, so the next one is going out on a date. And this is not quite a date story. It is a pre-date story about how stupid I was, and maybe still am. I have no idea. But so here's how it goes. One of my previous girlfriends that I met at Otakon, and she was hitting on me for a good 4 hours without me realizing it. Like, she gave me her number, and I'm like, oh, okay, so whenever I can need to go back to Nexon, I can talk to her. You know, she's representing blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, fine. And she, like, she flashed me her underwear. I'm like, oh, okay, it's part of her costume. Okay, cool. And this was a solid 4 hours of this one girl just hitting on me with all of her might and me going, oh, okay, how are you doing? And everyone else was like, dude, you know that girl is pretty much trying to jump on you, right? I'm like, no, really? Oh, crap. Now, note that this was after I'd already flown home. And so I was like, well, there goes that.
Wow, Dom. That's
pretty stupid, huh?
Not just stupid. I think from now on she's going to think you're gay.
Yeah.
She flashed her underwear at you? Dude, man, I can't believe you missed that kind of a sign. Anyways, let's go into this then. Cars. I don't know what I'm going to do with this one. Stupidest moment in cars for me. Actually, So this is the one point that I lost during my driving test. And so what had happened was me and my father, well, my father taught me the way that immigrants used to learn how to pass their driving test, which was to go to the DMV and stalk the driving test candidates. So you would learn the route, write it all down, and know everything that you need to practice and forget all the rest in terms of practicality.
Yep.
I lost one point on my driving test, and this was because he had asked me to pull over so we could talk about something before I kept going. And I had pulled over to the side of the curb, completely open curb, no one else even around. This is like a dead street, basically. He took a point off because I didn't use the blinker to indicate that I was forward parallel parking onto the curb. I got everything else right, including a reverse parallel park uphill perfectly, but I lost a point for that. So that's my stupidest moment in cars. I don't spend much time in a car or do many stupid things in them anyways. I'm pretty practical and logical about using them. So
yeah.
What about you, Dom? Stupidest moments in films then? I guess this doesn't have to involve you other than you seeing
the
film.
So I'm just doing a personal story, and I think I've already told this one as well. I've told it in the Serenity podcast. But after we saw the Serenity movie, I stood up and put my hands on my hip and shouted, wow, that was a wonderful movie. I hope they make a television series about it. It would last forever. and everybody just stared at me. Well, I had this big dumb grin on my face and was staring at everybody and going, what? What are you looking at me like that for? Did I say something wrong? You know, so that was intentionally stupid. All right, the next one is families. Ooh, this one might get a little personal, so take your time thinking about this one, Kevin.
Well, I'm trying to think about this one, and man, I'm sure there's a lot of really good stories in terms of stupid moments with my family, but I'm really having a hard time figuring it out right now. And definitely I can't do the next one, which is siblings, because I have none.
Yeah, that's why I'm taking this one for siblings, but families, that one's a tough one. Maybe we can just skip it.
Yeah, okay, we're skipped. Well, what about siblings for you then?
So siblings, the stupidest thing was that when I was in college, my sister was just out of college. I was in my sophomore year, and my parents had asked my sister to help support me. You know, so she was helping pay my rent when I was living outside of the dorm system. And for some reason, I went over to Washington D.C. to Georgetown to visit my friend out there, my best friend from high school. So my phone ran out of battery, and I didn't call my parents, and my parents got really worried about me. And my sister called me out on it via email, and I got really angry for some reason and told her to piss off. I actually used much ruder language than that, but you get the point. And she was like, okay, fine, I'm going to keep my money every month. And so it's like, fine, you keep your money. And then I realized, oh, crap, I have just lost my rent money for each month. All right, it's time to start living off ramen again. So that was a pretty dumb moment involving me getting into a fight with my sister for no real reason.
Oh, man. That's not even just stupid. I feel bad now for those kind of things.
Well, you know, it worked out all right. We didn't eventually. We got things back together relatively quickly after my mom found out we were feuding. And so, yeah. That one ended really quickly as soon as my mom said, are you two fighting? No!
All right, well, this next one is for cons, basically. And so,
well, not cons, but, like, you go to work conferences, too, don't you?
No, they get even dumber. Not really.
Really? Oh, okay. Because, like, you have never seen stupid, like, engineers on break in Vegas.
Oh, I've seen consultants on break in Florida and things like that. It's okay. It's not really that stupid. It's just mostly people like stumbling over chairs and things like that. So actually here's one from when I was in my younger days of being a consultant. So we were, you know, very much newbies at this point, and there was the big annual company kind of retreat. And this time, you know, I was in only a class of like five new trainees that we didn't know really that many other people in the company, but they made us memorize all seven of the founders of the company. So, you know, in the future, we'd know who to refer to. So we were sitting at a table and somebody sits in the table as well, doesn't say anything to us, but he's sitting there and we're all like looking at each other like, is that him? Is that one of the, you know, name the founder here? And we kept whispering to ourselves for about like 10 or 15 minutes until finally he turned and looked at us and said, yes, I am him. And then we're like, oh. And he's like, yeah, you don't need to get all uppity about this and stuff. And I'm like, but they made us learn on the test. And he was like, they make you learn this on the test? And then apparently they don't make you learn that on the test anymore. After that incident, I guess it's like there's some sort of separation between, you know, being a regular consultant and being one of the founders then, because it makes everyone feel very intimidated about, you know, at the time we were feeling pretty stupid about it because like, oh man, like why are we making such a big deal about this? But I guess we were supposed to. I'm not so sure. In terms of actual cons though, I can always say a lot of the stupid things that happen at cons, such as Anime Expo let's just say Anime Expo itself. The way the anime music video contest is handled. So if you guys want to think about that later on, there's some specific years starting with 2002. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, you're only a little bit bitter. But yes, I've worked for Anime Expo for a long time, and I've seen a lot of stupid go on behind the scenes. And that's all I'm going to say about that because I don't want to get kicked out. All right, applying for jobs. So this one's an interesting story. When I was unemployed earlier this year, I was applying for a lot of community manager jobs. And one of the community manager positions that was open was for this free MMO called Earth Eternal. And if you look up Earth Eternal, the first thing that comes to your head is, oh my god, this is a game for furries, because it's all about anthropomorphic animals who have taken over the world, basically. You know, so there's like badger men and lizard men and crocodile women and all that kind of thing. And so I went into that interview going, don't talk about furries, don't talk about furries, don't talk about furries. And it was such a part of my mindset and my process that I barely talked about the game, and it looked like I didn't even know anything about the game when I came in for that interview. And I didn't get that job for some odd reason. But looking at it, I think I would be fine not being a community manager for a game about anthropomorphic animals with breasts.
Are you sure about that?
Pretty sure.
Okay, well, it just seems like it's something up your alley, Dom. This next one is about work. And so one of the things that I've noticed really recently is people get really cranky when they don't have their coffee. So what ended up happening one time was that, okay, so you actually have like the work coffee, right? And everybody shares from the same thing that's always making the drip. And a lot of people get pissed off if someone gets the last cup of coffee. And then people are usually like, you got to make a new batch if you get the last cup. Right. This one guy apparently got so freaking angry, he decided to use an entire thing of Post-its and write one word on each Post-it and put them all over the wall next to the coffee machine. Followed by another person showing up, putting his own reply, all one word on one Post-it next to that. You can see where this is going. Basically, the passive-aggressive war between the two engineers that would never bother to fight anyone and are too scared to confront anyone. So I just thought, another one of those kind of things that you can find at something like passiveaggressivenotes.com. I really, a lot of kind of office politics about stupid commonplace things like coffee are just, you see them all the time, and you just can't believe it happens that often. One of the other things I've noticed is that people, when they don't get something out of the vending machine, actually leave a Post-it for the vending machine guy to say, call me at this cell phone number so that I can explain to you how the machine robbed me of my 25 cents for my candy. And I'm like, okay, the first time I saw it, I was like, okay, maybe it's just the same guy. But then it started being a whole bunch of different Post-its from a whole bunch of different people, and I'm like, is this really that important to you? I mean, you make a pretty good living. I mean, you work at the only bank that didn't fail, basically, and you're upset over losing some pocket change that you need to wait till the next Wednesday to tell the vending machine guy, hey, I got gypped by your machine. Give me a free bag of chips.
What the hell?
I know. It's crazy.
Jeez. All right. Stupidest moments in clothes. Wow.
Hey, this could relate to your school one.
Well, no, that's the thing is, it's like, it looks like I've already used that story because it's my boxer shorts thing where I didn't know the difference between shorts and boxer shorts.
You managed to take off your underwear at karaoke without taking off your actual pants?
That was awesome. It wasn't stupid. Grandpa, Dom, how did you take off your underwear without taking off your pants? I don't know!
I know the story about your name
at
New Year's.
It was a New Year's party, and people were getting drunk, and they're like, oh, we should totally put you in a dress, Dom. Like, why? Because we would put you in a dress. We'll make it for you. Okay, what's your size? Like, what do you mean by size? Like, what sizes do you get for your pants? I'm like, I get large, I think. I'm like, okay. Do you know your measurements at all? It's like, I'm 5'11". Does that help? Like, no. What does it say on your underwear? And I said, well, it says Dom. And then they just stared at me. And I just started laughing because, I'd gotten them pretty good there. But they just, it was the sound of like five heads hitting the table at the same time. I'm like, what the hell did you just say? I'm like, got you good. Because it doesn't actually say Dom on my underwear. It says Kevin.
And I keep telling you, stop wearing my underwear. Just because it's silky smooth doesn't mean that you're entitled to it.
But you have that Twilight underwear with Edward's face on the inside, a crotch?
Well, I guess you wearing my underwear is better than your usual alternative of the children's diapers. Which I keep telling you, upgrade to adult diapers. And then you're like, no, these feel better. Or that one time you wore a sock as a thong? That didn't work out.
I didn't wear a sock as a thong. Do you guys actually? Do you remember that one year where I went to Halloween?
I'm not talking about your candy sock penis. I'm talking about your sock thong.
Oh, okay. The candy sock penis. Should we tell that story or should we leave it for another time?
Sure, sure. What was it?
So the thing
with?
Was
Butterfingers.
No. It was King Cats actually. So
King Cats?
My go-to. Yeah, the king size Kit Kat.
Oh, okay.
The four of them is just this one big one. So the thing was that my go-to Halloween costume for a while was Flasher. So I had a trench coat, and all I do was just either wear shorts or hike up my pants and walk around in my shoes with no socks and that trench coat, which only went down to around my knees, and then I had bare legs. And I would go around going, "Hey, guys, what's up?" And then I would open the trench coat, and of course I'd be wearing a t-shirt and shorts underneath. But one year I decided to spruce that up by taking a sock and taping it to the front of my shorts. And I went, "Oh, this is too limp." And so I stuffed it with candy bars. And the best part about that whole story was that eventually I unloaded the candy bars and put them on the table for people to eat if they wanted. But most people, you know, they knew where they'd been, so they stopped. But Albert came in, and he was just in from a CS lab, and he was starving. He hadn't had dinner yet. He was, like, bleary from exhaustion. He comes in, and I go, "Hey, Albert, you want a candy bar?" And he's like, "Fine. I'll eat anything at this point." And people are like, "Do you know where that's been?" He's like, "I don't care." And he ate the Kit Kat.
He would have eaten it if he did know. That's just the kind of guy that Albert is. Okay, wrapping up this episode, you can always email us. Well, what?
Actually, and I would like to give a quick little shout-out so far to Jess and Amy, who have each provided us with delicious Thanksgiving meals before the actual Thanksgiving event. So I'm going to be on Thanksgiving number 3 on Thanksgiving, and then the day afterwards I will have Thanksgiving number 4. What about you, Kevin? How many Thanksgivings are you having?
Just 3.
Just 3? All right.
Yeah, a normal person's amount, not a freak's. Anyways, let's go on to wrapping up this episode. You can always email us at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. Check out all of our older episodes at www.s-words-podcast.com. And there's always that happy little place, but it hasn't been really that happy lately, except for last Saturday, in which it was very happy and very erect.
It was very happy. Because guess what? Whose axe, Kevin?
Erect.
What?
Erect.
What does that even mean?
Stand tall. Aim
our axe.
High. It's our axe.
Thank you. All right. And that's it, I think.
Twitter.com/s_words.
Oh, right. We never actually said twitter.com/s_words.
That would just be you. I said it just earlier.
Right. Sorry.
All right. Oh, yeah. Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah, bye, everybody.
Ha, 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 ha. John is speak.
What?
John is speak.
And everybody just stared at me while I just had this big shitty bee sitting green on my... While I had this big shitty bee sitting green...
Just say
while I had this big
a
grin
big
on my face.
Dumb-ass grin.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.